everybody. Kirk Konecki, CEO and Superintendent of Indian Hill Exempted Village School District, and we are here with our EduHero podcast with our partners today from the Indian Hill Foundation. We've got our President, Lisa Consolino, and our new Executive Director, Meredith Ducey. Welcome, ladies. Thanks for joining us on the EduHero podcast.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Great to have you here. I know that you are both avid golfers, so let's start with something that's not so directed about foundation work, but your own personal passions. Lisa, I believe you're like the champion out at the Kenwood Country Club and that you've won a championship. What's that feel like? Because I haven't won a golf championship ever.
It feels fantastic. It's a nice title to hold on to for 365 days at a time. It feels good. It's something that I've strived for, worked for, missed it many, many years. And so when I finally won it, it felt great.
What is a lesson that you have taken away from playing golf competitively in your lifetime? I know this is something you're passionate about. If you had to summarize, is there a lesson or two that you take away that you go, this has affected my life?
Yes. Have confidence in yourself. And know that much of what you do has as much to do with your mental outlook on it as it does what you think you're physically capable of doing.
Love hearing that. And of course, golf is something you can love and do your entire life. Yeah. So those skills are transferable to lots of things.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. And Meredith, we know you're something of a golfer as well, and you're new to many in our community, but not everybody. What's something you've taken away from your experience with golf?
I would say most importantly, have fun. It is a very difficult sport to master. You could be mastering it for life, but it is an opportunity to also play for quite some time, as well as family, friends. No matter how you play, as long as you enjoy the game, continue at it.
And you've also been coaching golf in your past for some time, even maybe with a rival school down the road. What do you try to impart on your players as a coach? Because obviously you can't swing for them. So what are some of the big pieces of advice you give to your players?
Oftentimes it's around just the sportsmanship. We also have three new players, and so we have three veteran players, and there's a lot to be learned from those three veteran players for the newer golfers.
I was amazed when I heard not only about the championship seasons you've had, but also how you've helped foster the golf and with female golfers. And as we all know at this table, fostering that love of sport for boys and girls and showing them that they can play these amazing things throughout their entire life, and that, like you said, Lisa, gives them these transferable skills and builds confidence. That's really what it's all about. We have a ton of alumni. We have a lot of our local community members, and of course we're surrounded by these beautiful courses in the area. So I think it's really amazing to see, and when we've had our own golf outing the last couple of years, just the turnout and the camaraderie that comes from a round of golf with a twosome or a foursome can really just make your day. And spending time out in nature, which is something we have in this community that I think is unique to Indian Hill. So thrilled that you're both here, and maybe you two are going to get some rounds in together in the future. We'll have to see.
Hopefully.
Sure hope so.
Let's talk about our partners and our alumni and cultivating these relationships as you both do with the foundation. I think the foundation has a long history, and sometimes our parents don't even know about the foundation. Lisa, you and I have talked about this. We have new parents and new people that move into our community every year. What do you want them to know about the Indian Hill Foundation?
I want everybody to understand that the foundation is here for the big picture, long term. I like to think of us as the foundation is the frosting. The district is a fantastic cupcake, and we are the extra. We're the swirl on top that makes it special, that adds something to the school district.
There's lots of ways that people interact with the foundation. If you're a younger or newer family, How does somebody kind of get their interaction or introduction to the foundation? What would you suggest to them?
We would welcome help on any of our various committees. We have a finance committee. We have a 5K, which is the Conquer the Hill in the spring. We have a governance committee. So if you have any special skill or knowledge, there's a way to get involved at the committee level. Really excited. We have some newer board members who are younger. And I think in the past, the foundation kind of grew with a set of parents that were maybe parents of older students. And I feel like we have this new generational change happening in the foundation right now. We have several members on the board who do have young children. And I think that's going to help foster awareness with kind of kids maybe more in the primary, the elementary school, whereas in the past, parents finally become aware of the foundation when their kids are in high school. So I'm hoping that helps our kind of our donor base and the activities that we do.
Excellent. Yeah, there are so many ways to interact with our partner groups, and I think people sometimes get their introduction to the PTO or the boosters in different ways, but the foundation really has a lot of wraparound with all of our partnerships in the community. So if you ask or if you seek a way to volunteer, we can connect you, as you're saying. Meredith, obviously you've joined the family now and you're kind of getting the lay of the land at Indian Hill. What makes Indian Hill and its foundation unique from your perspective?
I would say, first and foremost, coming on board, I would say the volunteer leadership in the Indian Hill Foundation board. I've been extremely impressed by the ownership, the accountability that the volunteers take, and knowing their passion and commitment to the mission, you can absolutely see it. And so we're very fortunate, and I'm thrilled to be their staff partner.
We're thrilled to have you. And when we talk about cultivating and doing the activity of philanthropy, you have a lot of experience. Can you just talk a little bit for people, Meredith, about maybe some of your professional background at a high level? Because again, we want people to know what you're all about.
Sure. So I have about 25 years of experience in nonprofits, mainly with two companies. One being the LPGA, so I was the first staff person hired for their foundation, and responsible for a junior golf grassroots program. So run 100% on volunteers. It still operates today. Very excited about that. And then the next part and the majority of my career had been spent with the American Cancer Society. So very mission-based, nonprofit, voluntary health organization. Similar to the Indian Hill Foundation as far as mission-based, volunteer-driven, and experience in special events, distinguished events, capital campaigns, direct mail, cultivating volunteer, yes, any way possible. But thoroughly enjoy working with volunteers, building those relationships, and identifying opportunities where there are matches that we can work together and partner.
We often talk about this, Meredith, you and I have talked about it, but Lisa, the foundation board of directors have talked about this for years with the strategic plan that you all put in place of helping people pair their passion with purpose, whether it's in academics, the athletics, the arts. What are some of the ways that people can actually help at the foundational level? What are some of those buckets that we talk about to get specific for people? If they're interested in helping and they want to cultivate a relationship, what do they do? How can they do that? Can we give them some specific examples?
Sure. I mean, if we're talking about as far as how to contribute to the foundation, I mean, every year we do an annual appeal. And that's a mailer, but there are other ways too. The foundation manages several scholarships, and that's a wonderful opportunity for someone to be able to give back to the school. We have a fantastic Braves Opportunity Scholarship, which is a full tuition, room, board, transportation, which was a wonderful, generous gift from an anonymous donor. We have several other scholarships. people can be involved in alumni affairs if they wanted to reach out. There's reunions. We have the Distinguished Alumni Awards, and that's always a wonderful event where we recognize three alumni from Indian Hill.
And those are traditions that have developed over a long time. I think a lot of people may not realize that the foundation is over 20 years old and has formed and developed a lot of infrastructure over time, Lisa, that you have helped to steward and lead, including that strategic plan that was put in place for the first time a few years ago. Meredith, you've also talked about some other opportunities to connect. I think we've talked about grant work that could maybe happen with partners, and there's this idea of helping our local community members through service, and that's something you did with the American Cancer Society for a long time. So as you're moving forward in your role, alumni obviously is huge here, right? We have a large alumni base over the years. What are some things maybe we can all look forward to in the future in terms of connections? Because I think the foundation does a great job of connecting with and highlighting alumni. What are some of the things that you're interested in?
Sure. So I think from a career perspective, I believe that the foundation really can serve as a connector for alumni, whether it's been 40 years or 4 years. But every year we have wonderful students graduating and go on to college. And just, you know, a few years after that, they're out in the world, corporate world. And so if the foundation could make that connection for someone in an industry that they want to be in, and we know that there's alum in that area, we'd love to make that connection and maybe serve as a mentor or just give them some advice. I really feel like you can't put a price tag on that. And just the ability to open doors and network as well.
And you've already done that as a foundation with our experienceship program. So yep. Lisa, as a parent who's had children go through the district, when you learned about experienceships and this idea of connecting students before they graduate for these types of connections with alum or with local partners and industry, is that something that you value as a parent?
Absolutely. Just first, I would love to give a shout out to Shelley Wineland, who was instrumental in the kind of the seed project of experienceships, and it has really come to flourish. And I know the school has kind of taken it on and is, you know, kind of is leapfrogging off of it and starting the entrepreneurship program as well. So I give Shelley a lot of credit for kind of spearheading that whole thing a couple of years ago. I think it's fantastic as far as what skills the students are learning. I participated as one of the mentors for the program. And from resume writing, from the skill set, which some students need a little bit of help on, just email correspondence and telephone correspondence and Zoom etiquette, helping them build their resume and helping them with a mock interview and listening to them as they realize the questions that they're going to be asked in an interview by a grown-up, and you know, helping them and saying, it's okay, I get it, that's a tough question, and I'm gonna give you some points that you want to get across about yourself, and here's a good way to try to do it. I think these are some skills that it's been great helping high school students.
And it's really a parent and a volunteer or a local alum that we know modeling the way for the next leader.
And then hopefully giving them an opportunity to spend a day or a week or a summer working for them. So it's that relationship building.
And really, when we talk about the IH Promise and our strategic plan, it aligns with this idea of student agency, learners as doers, learners as individuals. We really want our students, not just when they're in high school, but by the time they're in high school, to learn a little bit about what they don't want to become and what they do want to become, and to build that distinguisher on their resume that may help them outcompete their peer group as they move on, which I think is really important to not only our partners, but our parents and our community members. And we know it's important to the students because of the response we've seen in the programs. So the foundation has helped not only seed, but also develop and expand those programs. Last year, we added the Big Pitch as a great new activity. And again, Shelley Wineland and Lisa and other foundation board members were involved with that kind of ongoing education. And then one of the things that happened a few years ago was Lori Kleindienst worked with our director of pupil services, Erica Leppert, and during that time period that we don't like to talk about much anymore, the pandemic, the Braves Helping Braves Fund kind of became important too. And so how can the Braves Helping Braves Fund continue to have an impact on local families? Can you just explain a little bit about that fund, Meredith?
So the Braves Helping Braves Fund is a year-round opportunity for anyone wanting to give that will help families in need, maybe just a one-off here or there, or maybe a little bit longer, but through the foundation, we can provide that support, working with Erica and her working with the counselors so that it's, you know, all confidential, and we make sure, you know, the teachers have been very engaged as well as far as donating, very generous. So would like to say thank you to all of them, and consistently as well. And so we are getting ready to, here with the holidays, make some gifts for some families at this time. And again, it is year round.
When these things happen, I think it's really important for us to remember and see the Braves Helping Braves Fund is an example of a community coming together, and the foundation as the steward of that fund helping us lead people who may be in crisis or might not have the same things that everybody else has. And to me, it is one of the most tangible examples of the strength of this entire community that the foundation created. And year in, year out, I've seen it help so many people. So thank you for that stewardship. And I think, Lisa, you've also seen over time the power of scholarship and how scholarships that have been developed. And I think in this school community, sometimes the perception is, oh, well, we have a pretty solid community with a lot of resources. Many of our families can send their children off to college and the finances are okay. But the reality is we've added scholarships over the last 4 or 5 years, and we need to continue to work on that. You've been able to see that impact, though, when you're handing those scholarships out annually.
Yes.
What do you think about the scholarship need in the district and where we go from here? What is that impact on these kids?
Well, I think the fact of scholarships will help some students who might be choosing between someplace that they know they can afford and maybe they would like to take a chance, or maybe they had higher aspirations or further aspirations, but logistically and financially, it just wasn't going to be possible. So I think it's wonderful that families and donors have stepped up and created various scholarships. Some of them are academic or curriculum-based, and some are just financial, not necessarily 100% financial, but I love that students can apply and think outside the box and consider options that might not have otherwise been available to them.
When we have that spring event for seniors and you get to hand out those scholarships, I always am so touched when I get to see the response and the reaction, not only of the student, but their family, when they realize the benevolence of a gift like that. And it is life-changing. And especially if they have wanted to make a reach for a special school or a special place for their life. Again, that's kind of what it's all about. And I know that tickles you as a...
Very rewarding.
Yeah,
yes.
Very rewarding. And we talk a lot about what's next and what's possible with the foundation. And of course, we saw an amazing example of that recently. Meredith, when the Sue Harder Memorial Performing Arts Center opened, you were right there opening the door, showing people in, helping them find their way. But it was really your first interaction with the facility as a finished spot and interacting with John Harder and his family and thinking about that gift. What's that mean to you in your role?
Extremely meaningful. The impact that him and his family, with the gift that they've made for now as well as years to go, is just extremely meaningful, and how many lives they will touch. But also knowing that his wife Sue, in her interests and passions, continue on. here at the Indian Hill Schools, I think is extremely impressive. You know, we look to identify matches with donors. I think that's a perfect opportunity or a perfect example of an opportunity. You know, we like to have conversation and see what interests are. And I would say that is, yeah, ideal, and we'd love to see more of those.
Really, yeah. Some alignment there, Lisa, right? And I know that you have gotten to know John and his family really well, and I'm sure it was a special evening for you.
He is such a kind and caring and generous man. It was nice to see his family there supporting him and his big night. And also, yes, his gift is significant to the school and to the improvement of the auditorium, the renovations, and it's also a great example for others. You know, we hope that it's an inspiration for other people in the community to realize that they have, maybe they'd be able to express some appreciation and give back to the school at some point in the future too.
And really, whether it's about legacy or whether it's about service, whether it's about alumni connection, whether it's about scholarship opportunity or grant partnership, there are lots of ways, as you said at the top of the podcast, to interact. I know personally and professionally that the conversation and dialogue that has happened just around John and his family over the last year and a half have probably led to an exponential number of other conversations, not just about that gift and that story, which is the most powerful story of volunteerism and service in Sue Harder's life, that people will be impacted, like you said, Meredith, for years to come learning that story. But what it has led to is more education about our academic programming, our arts programming, our athletic programming, our facilities, and what our campus ought to be like for that experience for all of our young Braves as they go through school, which I think is what parents hopefully in our community want, which is always the best for their families. And I think they represent the best of the Braves. It's been so great having both of you here today. Let's leave with a couple of fun items here. So you get done with a round of golf, and we ask all of our Braves this question, like if there's that go-to meal or snack or something that you crave. Lisa, what is it? What's your favorite? Like if you're picking the one meal and you're stuck on a deserted island, what is it?
I mean, are we talking about
food
exactly after? Oh, anything in general?
Your choice. What's your fave?
See, our joke in our family is you're stuck on a deserted island, and this is the only thing that you can eat for the rest of your life. And so it's always like, do we go for something healthy that will sustain us, or do we just go for what we know we're going to like? So I'm just going to have to go with chips and guac.
Okay, chips and guac. Yeah. Great. Good choice, I think.
I don't think that will sustain me long, but at least I'll die happy.
You'll die happy. There you go. Meredith, what about you? What's your go-to?
Oh, geez. So I would say any types of appetizers, light snacks, and a lot of them.
Whatever. Choice and variety. You can only take one, and you're breaking the rules already. But
absolutely.
What about you?
Celebrate.
What about you, Kirk?
I don't know. I think it'd just be pizza, right? I mean, this body was probably made by pizza, so I would probably just have to stick with pizza. It's been great hearing a little bit about the foundation. Meredith, I know Lisa and I probably could speak for the whole foundation board and group when we say welcome. So excited to have you here.
We are thrilled. We are thrilled and looking forward to this next chapter in the foundation's history. So it's come very far in the past 21 years, and I am so excited to see what happens next.
Thank you. I am as well.
And Meredith has been packing up boxes, and she's going to unpack them next week and move into the new institutional offices in the new front of the connector between the middle school and the Performing Arts Center. And these foundation offices are going to be amazing. So if anybody's looking for a place to come visit and say hi, right there at the front door on campus. Can't wait to see you in your offices soon. And again, thank you both for all you do for the Braves. The foundation is an amazing partnership and helps sustain, and as Lisa said, is really the swirl and the cherry on top of everything that we try to do here for the IH Promise. You help us keep that promise. Thanks for being on the Edge Hero podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.